the residential aspect of the area.
Michael, I mean, that seems, it seems very important to get that information from the fire marshal. But I was also wondering, is there any way to put a limit on gatherings over a certain number, like a limit per quarter? So that, I mean, because potentially they could have something every weekend, and that's a lot different than having it a limit to once a month, or, you know, 3 1/4, or, you know, larger events that exceed a certain amount, depending on what those numbers are per the fire marshal.
Yeah, I, in my opinion, I think that we could limit that based off of the impact on the neighborhood. And so, yeah, I think that is something the city can regulate as part of a conditional use permit.
I mean, that, I think that would be good, so that neighbors can have a certain expectation. I mean, you kind of have to plan for the worst case scenario. So, I mean, in terms of neighborhood impact, so it would be great if we could put some limits in there so neighbors have some expectation as to, you know, how often this can be going on, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for example, there could be a limit of 2 receptions a month of, you know, greater than 100 people or something along those lines. So we try to keep it not so much, so impactful on the neighbors, and that's just numbers made up. But yeah, I do agree that could be part of this conditional use permit, because we have to look at the overall impact on the neighborhood.
Do we normally have a bed and breakfast allow for events? It seems to be kind of a hybrid conditional use permit that are completely different. I mean, I remember the bar one came through last month, and it was very specific with parking and the intent and how many people would be there. And now we've overlaid onto this 70 plus parking stalls in a very narrow road. So it seems like we've got two different uses here being blended.
Yeah, we do, that's very true what you're stating. The other two bed and breakfasts we have permitted in town right now that are in residential zones have not asked for any type of building to have reception. So this is kind of a new situation. You know, we've got Blue Boar Inn, for instance, where they can have larger events, but they're in a resort zone, and so and they have parking and those types of things. It's been set aside for that. And when we did have Johnson Mill, they had overflow parking, but they had a larger piece of property at 6 acres, and they were in a resort zone also. And even previously, with Inn on the Creek, before it got converted over to another use, they had some ability to handle some larger events. But those were, again, in resort zones. The two that we've got currently in residential zones do not have the ability to have receptions. They never asked for that ability. So this is really the first one in a residential zone to ask for this. So we're trailblazing in a certain way.
So, I mean, you say it's a hybrid. However, item H, and that's part of the code, right? The part that's not italicized is the code text that actually says that you can use it for those uses. So it's something accommodated by code saying that you can do it, correct?
Yeah, so we're meeting the requirements of, my computer's going to want to restart in 29 minutes, that's not good. We're meeting the requirements of the bed and breakfast code, but we're also meeting the requirements of conditional use permits. We're mixing those two codes together with this. They need to meet both standards. And really, the bed and breakfast are specific. It's really kind of an administrative approval, and that does allow for receptions. But as part of the conditional use permit, we can limit impact on the neighborhood with the conditional use permit conditions. And so you have the ability, even though they're allowed, to limit the scope and scale of those.
So how many? Who would be noticed? I assume there'd be a public hearing if this continues. And is it 600 feet from the property that people would be noticed about this?
Yeah, that's correct. So the yellow line on the map, we measuring out 600 feet, all property owners, if they have a home or not, they'll be noticed for the public hearing.
Do you know how many people that would be?
You know, roughly? We have the stack of envelopes already. Do you remember how many envelopes there are with that? It's that thick, so.
It's 93.
It brings in a lot of the homes in Lodges of Snake Creek, which is really, you know, it's planned unit development, so there's a lot of owners in there.
The staff report said it was noticed, but it hasn't been yet, that's just gonna be for the next week.
Well, it's been noticed for a public meeting for tonight, but the public hearing has yet to be noticed before the city council, so that's when we'll send the letters out, once planning commission makes a recommendation.
So nothing's been noticed yet?
We have noticed on the state website, on the city website, around town, also in the most, in the newspaper, but we haven't sent letters out, that happens for the public hearing.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Continue.
So parking, I've talked a bit about that, and access, we are accessing directly onto a collector road, which is good, instead of a local street, Kerry Lane is one of our collectors. So it has good access from a good collector road, but there could be, you know, if everybody's leaving at once or arriving at once, there could be some congestion on Kerry Lane that needs to be considered with that many vehicles. So that's something that, you know, could impact number of vehicles on site. And then parking for events could remain grass and not alter the character of the neighborhood. As I've discussed this with the applicant, we really don't wanna change that front area, you know, it's a really beautiful area. And if the events aren't too frequent, then I'm sure the grass can be kept up. And it would be better not to alter that feel of on Kerry Lane, if at all possible. But again, the parking stalls for the rooms need to be paved, so that access area need to be paved, plus the stalls themselves.
And why is that? I mean, the gravel road looks fine.
Yeah, so it's part of the code, and so that's why we require it, but I'm sure it's, you know, if you do have a gravel road, sometimes you kick up dust, that type of thing, and there would be more traffic for this home than would be for a normal home, so.
Yeah.
I can only assume that's why it's been in the code, it's been in there for quite a while.
And that's what we have to work with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Michael, I understand the applicant owns the property to the east currently, but if that was a gravel road and the applicant sold that lot, that could be a quite a nuisance, the dust generated off that gravel road. If I own a lot, isn't there a lot just east of that driveway?
There's a proposed lot here and another one here. So there's two of them kind of in this stretch.
The one already has a house on it.
Yeah, this one does have a home on it, that's correct.
Right. So to me, the asphalt, the gravel, that would be something to consider.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael, do you have this image up there?
I do. Right there.
One of the concerns that I have, and it just dawned on me right here, and I don't know how to address it. If you did have 72 people coming here, that's equivalent to about 35 homes, which is a substantial subdivision. And you look at the offset, that's basically an intersection that's going to be 100 feet away. This will ultimately be an intersection right here. Something we'll wanna look at as we go through this, can we do something to minimize the problems of having the driveway, basically two intersections.
Yeah, I've just got a couple more things to go over real quick. Okay, yeah, well, so I did propose some findings. One is the proposed use is a conditional use for a property greater than 2 acres in any zone. So that's the requirement. There's three requirements. You only have to meet one of those to be able to propose a bed and breakfast. So the applicant does meet the having at least 2 acres. So that's why they're able to propose this in the zone. Not any home in the R115 zone could be a bed and breakfast, only one on a larger piece of property, one in the transit rental overlay district, or one that is a historic home. The property is located along the collector road with direct access to that road, being Kerry Lane. Traffic will increase in the neighborhood, but the increased traffic will still fall within established traffic count standards. So traffic count wide on Kerry Lane will still be within standard. It's just, you know, we do have to look at the impact of that traffic as part of the conditional use permit. Proposal does comply with the requirements of the code, so I did go through and list that. I guess the one outstanding question is occupancy hasn't been determined yet within the structure. The city council has broad discretion regarding if alcohol is allowed for the post conditional use permit. And then the final one is additional rental rooms will help the city retain its ability to collect the resort tax that we talked about at the very beginning of the meeting. So possible conditions, and these were items that have been discussed, but maximum of 72 vehicles for any events, and that's something that we need to discuss, is that appropriate for this situation? Business limited to 144 guests for any event. That's really timesing the 72 by 2 to come up with that number, so that's something up for debate. And the final one, no parking associated with the business or any event is allowed along Carey Lane at any time. We just don't feel like there's enough shoulder there to handle any parking.
So if these conditions are set, what's the enforcement mechanism? What happens if there's 73 vehicles and 145 people?
Yeah.
Do you lose your ability to operate a bed and breakfast?
Yeah, potentially we could revoke the business license itself, and they wouldn't be able to have that business on site if they didn't meet the requirements. So we do have control over that.
And would that 72 include any catering vehicles or wait staff or other, or is this just guests to an event? Is that an all-inclusive number?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this number is basically a seed for discussion. 72 is based off of the site plan that was given us. Again, we need to decide if that's appropriate, but this condition could be as specific as you like it to be. Could be include, you know, the residents themselves, any catering, you know, anything associated with the event. There could be an overall max number included. That could be way different from 72.
Mike,
would be every vehicle.
Would you ever anticipate the other 9 stalls? Would you anticipate the bed and breakfast being rented at the time of the event, having 72 vehicles there?
Yeah, and you know, the way this is written is it's just specific. Well, it talks about events, but yeah, we'd have to consider the other 6 required stalls.
Yeah, just I'm thinking that would be where you're catering, because I can't imagine running a bed and breakfast and having 72.
Wouldn't be peaceful.
So, Michael,
I would think the event would be renting out the rooms probably in that case.
Can you talk a little bit more about the occupancy that would be determined by the fire marshal or whomever, and how that would relate to parking? Because there seems to be like a disconnect there, because occupancy, it's a 4-bedroom home?
Well, it's a 5-bedroom.
5-bedroom home?
Rooms are proposed for rent.
So, I mean, even if you stuck 4 people in a room, that's 16 plus the residents. So how does that occupancy relate to potentially 72 vehicles? I don't know how the occupancy would be used to determine the parking.
Yeah, and I am definitely not the expert on this, but our building inspector is, he's certified for this type of review. So he's going to need to get with the applicant and go through the home, but there'll be an occupancy for the rooms and then also for the larger areas in the home, and so that could determine overall dwelling occupancy.
Is it an overnight occupancy, or just how many people can be there at one time? That's probably what it is, right?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think I've got an answer to that right now, but that's something I can get an answer to. But that could be the seat to really start analyzing what's appropriate for the home.
Yeah.
But also just the overall residential character of the neighborhood needs to be considered too.
Yeah.
So not necessarily just that, but the zoning itself.
So just while I'm thinking, I'm going to throw out a suggestion here. It seems like that's a critical piece of information that would merit this item being continued till we have that information to consider.
Yeah.
I don't make motions, but I'm just...
Definitely within the Planning Commission's ability to continue this item and give us direction on what information you'd like. We can bring that back to you for your analysis.
And as far as the occupancy goes, I mean, it's determined by if you had certain large areas in the room that could be used for events and more of assembly type of things, then that has a different occupancy count than bedrooms do, for example.
Right.
So
well,
they'd have to look at it and how they're using the space.
It's about getting people out of the space if there's an issue, particularly if the fire department's involved.
Right.
Yeah, that plays into it as well. But that's not entirely the only way they're doing that. So, but you're not going to have nearly the capacity for 72 cars in the house. So
yeah,
But I'm curious what he